I'm not going for a new look. I did brave the shave yesterday, so, and I have the T-shirt to prove it. So, I'll be back. So I'll be back to, well, I was going to say normal, but you know, the way I looked before, pretty soon. So no, it was good. This week, I think it was this week, some of you may have seen, I find space quite fascinating. And this week they had the first, it was actually from radio signals, but it was rendered in a photograph of the supermassive black hole at the heart of a galaxy 55 million light years away. That's so cool. But that's the kind of at the center of galaxies is the supermassive. Our galaxy has one. It's 4 million, the mass of it is 4 million times that of our sun. So 4 million solar masses. Well, this one at the heart of this galaxy is 6.5 billion solar masses. And one might say that that's a very powerful force. And certainly, gravitationally, the most powerful force in the universe probably is a black hole. If you think about it, when it's so massive that light can't even escape, that's a pretty powerful force. Another powerful force in our universe is the mob. A mob can be, we see these stories about what stirs up a mob. Sometimes it's in some countries where there's a little less order, just a rumor about something stirs up a mob and they go and riot and maybe kill somebody or hang them or whatever. And it's a very powerful force. It's almost like a tsunami, which is another powerful force. People kind of get swept up in it, and they end up doing things perhaps they wouldn't do as individuals. Not that long ago, we had a genocide in Rwanda, 25 years ago or so, but swept along by a mob that decided that this group of people decided they were going to kill that group of people. And whenever something happens, blackouts or electrical blackouts or floods or something, a lot of times we have looting. And these are people that oftentimes the rank and file, if you will, are doing things they wouldn't normally do. But somehow something was triggered in them, the leader of the mob triggered something in them, and then it was okay. And a very interesting book, I read history a lot, and one of the more interesting books that I've read is it's called Hitler's Willing Executioners, Ordinary Germans and the Holocaust. And the point of the thing is, despite that, a lot of them use the defense of, we were just following orders. Well, they were, but they didn't have to. Not for that. One of the things you find out is that if someone was uncomfortable doing what they were asked to do, as far as those kind of things, they didn't have to do it. There were plenty of people who so everyone who did that was at some level willing to take part in that. Any Germans, and again, for whatever reason, they were kind of swept up. It's a different kind of mob, but that's essentially what they were. And I say that because here we have an example of the mob, if you will, turning on a dime within a week. We have Jesus coming in and being proclaimed as the Son of David, as the Messiah. Hosanna to the Son of David. The crowds are waving their palms and greeting him and saying, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And within a week, those same people are saying, crucify him. They're following somebody else, got themselves in charge of the mob, and they turn around. And it was easy to be done. And even Jesus' followers were intimidated. He denied him. He remained faithful in his own way. He didn't renounce him. He just sort of denied he was doing. They were fearful of the mob. But as we know, they didn't stay that way. Peter, later on, not only defied the mob, but was executed for being faithful to Jesus. He said that, Lord, I know I will go even to death. Well, he did, but not right away. And all of the 12, except, of course, for John, plus the Apostle Paul, they all went to death as well. They resisted the mob. And why was that? Well, because, as Paul Harvey used to say, they knew the rest of the story. Peter, at the time, didn't know the rest of the story. He could see that Jesus was probably going to be executed. In fact, he even said, I will follow you to death. And so he recognized that was what happened, and Jesus was indeed executed. But because he knows the rest of the story, he was able to resist the mob, because he knows that even death did not overcome Jesus. And so he knew that even death could not overcome him. And so he was willing, as I always say, to pick the winning side. The winning side is the side of Jesus, because he overcame all the forces that were arrayed against him, all the forces that were arrayed in this world. And the mob still operates in a different way. Sometimes as we see, and in the way a traditional mob does, but nowadays it's done through culture, through, you know, the popular culture, as I call it, has one voice, a voice of kind of a secular, I don't know what to say, you know, sort of anything goes. Whatever you say is, moral relativism, I guess it is. You know, whatever you say is fine, you know, so who are we to judge, and all of that kind of thing. Well, we're not going to talk about that, but we'll talk about our place in it, because we know there is truth. We know there are certain truths. That's one, you know, the church, we may have flawed people in our church, but the church itself, what we teach, is the truth. And it takes courage to resist the mob and to say no. Yes, we love people. Yes, we will be servants to people. We are, you know, our role in life, in our life, is to be as Jesus, is to be there for those who need us. It's to give ourselves to, first to God, who gave himself to us, then with his help to give ourselves to the world, to people, to spread that gospel message of love. And we do that, but not at the cost of the truth. And so we resist the mob. We say, you know, we say, well, we love you, but this isn't true, you know? And so it's important for us to know, you know, that one of the things that happens a lot of times is we don't necessarily know why something is taught the way it is. And it's important for us, rather than to simply follow the mob, to find out what the truth is behind the teaching and things like that. That's something where we come in. You know, that's why we're here, among other reasons, is to help people to understand why we teach what we teach. But it's important, I think, too, to not simply go along. You know, the attitude we take a lot of times is that it's up to the church sort of to prove, you know, why what we teach is right, rather than take the opposite, which is it's up to the world to prove why they're right, but that's another story. We got too much time. We had a long gospel anyway. So, but it's just something to think about as we go, because we do have the mob. The mob is still tugging at us in its own way. And it's hard to resist. Maybe not as hard to resist as a supermassive black hole of, well, think of it as that. It is kind of like a supermassive black hole of 6.5 billion solar masses tugging at us. But we can resist that because we have Jesus who overcomes all the forces of the world, including death itself. And so as we enter into this holy week, this most wonderful week of the year, you know, there's a song that comes out at Christmas, it's the most wonderful time of the year, which it is. Christmas is a wonderful time, but I always think this is the most wonderful time of the year because it is this week. It is because of this week that we are here. It is because Jesus suffered, died, and rose that we are here and that he is alive and that we can resist the mob, the things tugging at us, because he is the way, the truth, the life, Jesus.